Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters here in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host and Phoenix Business Radio X ambassador, Kendra Maples. I am so excited for the four people that are in the room right now because the conversation is already so much fun and so exciting. So I'm excited to see where today goes. A couple of individuals. We have Coach Chuck with us today. Hello. We have Vivian Gellert, CEO and founder of Elaine. Skylar Irvine, founder and CEO of Rensler Media, and Portland Reed, founder of Relana. I'm very excited. Perfect. So what I want to do just to start out is I want to go around the table, give you guys the opportunity to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you and the company that you're with, and then as the conversation goes on, we'll talk about how all of you connect and intertwine with each other. So let's start with you, Portland. You're across from me.
You're going to do that.
You're right in front of me, honey.
Because I'm right in front of you. So anyway, shout out to Arizona in the house right now. This is the best place to live in the country. I would say so. Ooh. So my company is Relana. And basically, we are just looking for a way and have found a way to create an environment where everyone that comes to us knows that they matter. And because of that, we said, you know what? Let's measure social impact and let's figure out a way to not only do it for us, but to do it for these wonderful people here.
I love that. How long have you been doing that for?
Many years. This is the first time I've actually created my own software and done it myself. Okay. But for years, I worked in DC and was doing data analytics and kind of cool stuff in a very intense environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, did I read that you have a law background?
Oh, yeah. And, you know.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, a lot there.
I was on Wall Street. We could go there. You know?
We might. Who knows?
We might have to go there, but I'm gonna surprise y'all today, though.
I love it. Okay, Skylar, what about you?
Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me. It's fun to be here. There's always a good time to do things like this. Rensler Media, we help business owners essentially capitalize on the digital world and social trends to achieve their business goals. And it's really about removing the headache that a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs have with the ever-changing social media landscape. And that's been our purpose for a while. And we've had a lot of fun doing podcasts and digital video and repurposing a lot of content around business owners and helping people spread their message. A big belief of mine is that we're kind of entering this world where a lot of very experienced business owners are starting to lose some of their market share to people who have a lot less experience than them, but might be a lot better at social media marketing than them. And there's this little bit of a chasm that's starting to grow with some of the business shifting to these younger, inexperienced people rather than the ones that have a lot more credibility in their industries. And we are trying to just solve that problem for those business owners and kind of let them do their thing. And we will just create content around them for them and optimize it kind of as their business starts to grow.
And you started this, you branched from working in real estate.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So I've been in real estate since the recession. I got into it when everyone was getting out of it. So it was actually the perfect time. And I benefited from a lot of great market timing that I know was mostly due to the year I was born, where if it would have been maybe 2 years earlier, I would have been one of those people that probably borrowed a bunch of money and ended up with a lot of properties. But instead, I was fortunate enough to be of age when there was a lot of properties for very cheap and capitalized on that and shifted into a retail real estate company and built a real estate team before that was really a thing when Blackstone came back to Phoenix with $2 billion in cash and started buying everything. So that's when the market was coming back, and we looked at it as we just had 7 years where people didn't want to buy houses, but they're still getting married, they were still having families, so there's pent-up demand. The market's about to come back in a fast way, and that's when I got into retail real estate. And in order to compete with the big guys who had a lot more money than us and big fancy websites and big fancy buildings, no one wanted to go to Facebook. And I thought, okay, instead of trying to compete with these guys where they're really strong, I'm just going to go dominate Facebook. And luckily, Facebook did what it did, but we had a nice little market share and had a good opportunity to really grow fast in that space. And eventually, when I wanted to kind of get out of real estate, because I was mostly just the marketing and the brand side of it, was to do what I did for my real estate company, but for other companies. Mm-hmm. I kind of saw what I was able to do with Facebook was easy compared to 4 years later, where it was Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and then podcasts and YouTube, and everything was a thing. And it became a full-time job, not just something you could do on the side. So my vision was, if the companies of the future are either going to have to partner with someone who does the marketing while they do the business, or they're just going to have to do it all themselves, or find an agency that they trust to manage it for them. So my vision was to set off and found that agency that could be long-term partners with companies.
That's awesome.
A great story.
Thank you.
No, that is. And that's very clear. Like, I could see how you could help me.
That's fantastic. That's probably the best compliment to hear.
Boom, boom. Just
send her a contract right now.
Yeah, let me sign this real quick. Yeah. But no, that's helpful. Yeah,
I don't have a business card. Just deal with it.
I know where to find her.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yes.
I love that. So that was the next voice. Chuck, tell us about you.
Yeah, so Chuck Warshaver.
You're the one who brought all of these lovely humans together today.
Man.
This illustrious group.
Holla
together.
At your boy.
1,000%.
So my 1.0 was, I had a manufacturing company back east that I founded in 1990. We were a mattress manufacturer and ran and grew the business to roughly $30 million and sold it in 2010, and decided the Northeast is not where I wanted to be domiciled, especially this time of year, and moved out here and wanted to get involved in organizations where I could give back. And I had been very fortunate where I had people helping me, and I wanted to now pay it forward, and got involved with a nonprofit in 2012 called Playworks. And
yes!
Grew Playworks from 3 schools to roughly 80 schools, serving 50,000 kids a day. And loved it every minute, but got a little exhausting fundraising to the levels that I needed to. So stepped away from that in 2017. And then my 3.0, again, with the pay it forward, was to start coaching and giving back to CEOs, not necessarily young CEOs, but CEOs in more of a startup mode and early stage, and see if I could help them not make the mistakes that I made or I had seen made, and help them navigate their growth plans, and really enjoy and have a lot of different clients. And not that I'm an expert in any of them, but I think I know enough about business to be dangerous and help them.
What about your nonprofit? Helping out the kids with getting in school?
With the Playworks?
No, what? The one you're doing now.
Oh,
yeah, you're still involved in a lot right now.
Yes. So it's kind of important to everybody in Arizona. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm doing a project for online high school dropout recovery. And probably the reason that I didn't mention it is because of the challenges that we're having with our Department of Education on some policy to help these kids. And we have a high dropout rate, and a lot of kids can't or won't go back to school for reasons not necessarily academic. And we have a great program, and it's something that I'm passionate about. We are in a couple of districts right now, but I will be looking to scale this. And so
that's awesome.
It's been challenging.
Yeah.
But definitely necessary.
Mm-hmm. Everything that's worth doing kind of is.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with your background, you have that, you know, a lot of the experience from what hasn't worked in previous years, and what you can maybe funnel to support this. So
yeah, I'm not great with bureaucracy. if you check my predictive index, I'm a captain, and we just like to do things. Patience is not one of my strengths.
That's okay. That's why you get support from other people that
can help. Your patience with five other projects to keep you busy.
You're the coach that supports everybody. Right. And then they support you with the needed patience.
Amen.
I love that. Vivian, how about you?
Yeah. Vivi. Yes.
I love that.
Thank you. Thank you for having us this morning. I feel like I'm constantly calling Chuck and asking him to show up places and be here and there for me. So it's awesome to be able to be on the other side of that and be here with Chuck doing this. So native Phoenician, both parents are physicians, grew up in the healthcare world, and I knew that I wanted to be a doctor. Got nearly a full ride to ASU, started at ASU downtown, pre-med. And then while I was a pre-med student working at Maryvale Hospital, I witnessed so many individuals coming in and out of the emergency room where all of the resources exist outside of the emergency room. But what these underserved patients really lacked was the connecting factor. So how do we get these patients more effectively to the right resources at the right time? Started a volunteer group. That volunteer group evolved into a nonprofit. And we officially launched Elaine in January. Elaine is a health navigation and transportation system for underserved and homeless individuals. And essentially what we're trying to do is we attach human being navigators to a vulnerable patient. These patients are very high cost to the system and have really poor outcomes. And this navigator's job is to make sure that the patient is adherent, compliant, but most importantly, what we're doing is really bringing back the human side to healthcare, making sure that these patients aren't just being given a sheet of paper telling them what to do. Mm. It's a human being who's there, who's caring. You know, when we get ill, we have people to care for us. These are the people who have no one. So we become that person for them.
That is absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
And you said it just started in January.
It officially launched in January. I've been doing this work since I was a pre-med, so a few years ago, but with employees, vehicles, and our partners. It was in January.
That's awesome. Fantastic. And so with that starting in January, how is Chuck connected with that? Because I know that that's a big part of the growth and, you know, using him as a coach. So talk about that relationship and Chuck, how you've been involved with all of this.
You want to start or you want me to? I'll let you start.
It was very interesting how I got to meet her. My previous board chair for Playworks introduced me to Vivi to help her scale. Okay. But when I went to the meeting, it wasn't just Vivi and him and I. It was her board. So it was...
You got set up.
I got set up.
Totally.
Totally. That's how you do it.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
You know my board chair, so he's a clever guy. So, but I fell in love with the mission. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's easy to help people that I believe in and of course, their mission. So we've been working diligently to scale and made some adjustments to the process. And we have a plan next year to really grow this thing and serve at least 1,000 patients next year, which is significant.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, little Vivi, like specifically, you saw the gap. What's the gap? They're in the emergency room and what were you observing?
So one instance, it's actually extremely common. You have a homeless man who has a laceration on his hand, cut. He comes in, he gets stitches. He's then given antibiotics because of his living conditions on the streets and told to return to his PCP. Which there's no PCP for this man, but they give him a sheet of paper with the info to get the stitches removed. Fast forward 2 months, he never refilled those antibiotics. He never got those stitches removed. And now he's coming in septic, sick. He's admitted to the hospital.
Oh, you're seeing the return the person you were helping before.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not currently, but that's what I was seeing before we created this.
Right, okay.
And you know, the homeless individuals on the side of the street, those amputations happen for a reason. It's very common, poor hygiene and poor follow-up on medical instructions. So that's an extreme example, but we see it all.
Interesting. I shadowed, any organization I'm going to get involved with, I want to really understand it. So before I committed to Vivi, I shadowed one of her navigators and patients. And this man who was roughly my age had a pacemaker, had not been checked for 3 years. Pacemakers need to be checked quarterly.
And it was still working?
Thankfully, he was very fortunate that it was working. But now with the navigator, he's on a 3-month program to meet with her to have that pacemaker checked. And believe me, getting into the hospital, finding the right floor, getting into that doctor's office, and then finding the technician, I don't think I could have done it myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was very complicated process. So she got him all the way through and thankfully.
That's remarkable. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. So one of our KPIs, key performance indicators, is appointment adherence. A lot of our patients are homeless. A lot of them have dementia, difficult to remember medications, appointments. These patients typically have above a 50% no-show rate. Our patients, we've brought that down to less than 10%. So it's really tying the human being to the health plan.
That
makes such a difference.
That is phenomenal.
That's phenomenal.
So how does that happen? What are you doing differently? Yes, you have that navigator that's working with them, but how does that relationship with the navigator and say that homeless individual that's now on the streets, it's not like the navigator is necessarily calling or putting appointments on their calendar.
Yeah,
how does that relationship work to reduce that number?
Sure. I think a perfect example to highlight how we do that would be a vignette of we were connected with an individual last year diagnosed with prostate cancer, and his treatment was radiation, very common. And in order for that radiation to be effective, he has to receive an injection prior. And in order for that injection to be effective, he has to take 2 weeks of intensive hormone therapy through pills. He's homeless and he has dementia. So if he doesn't forget to take his medications, he loses them. Our navigator found him cargo shorts, put his medications in the pockets, and said, come to me every morning at 7:30 to take these medications and we'll schedule your appointments together. And every single morning showed up to take his medication and received his first real cancer treatment in March. So
that's
we care. We really care. On our shirts, we have our company name, Elaine, and then right under it, we have We Care in text.
Mm.
And those patients feel it. We really are their family. And they trust us. They really trust us. And we take that super seriously.
And they trust you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've never heard of such a
thing. Each navigator has roughly 15 to 20 patients. And that's, so it's a boutique.
Yeah.
It's not like you're spreading it over 100.
Right.
They know them.
Mm-hmm. And what are the qualifications of the navigators?
We qualify the navigator. So they go through very intensive training before they can start. We have training that's designed around mandated training to be partnered with some of our partners. And initially, we really look for the soft skills because we teach those hard skills and we have our standardized approach for navigation. What works? Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
You said she was cool. You're right.
So then
I only hang out with cool people.
Yeah, I see that.
You guys should be honored in this room right now.
Yes.
So Chuck, with your involvement with helping this and kind of that coaching side, that operational improvement side, what were some of the things that you saw to try and help build? And obviously, you're already invested in the passion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a visionary. So it was more of me leveraging my network and introducing her to the right marketing, legal, different trusted advisors that I have, the insurance side of it, which obviously is a big part of it since she's working with, this underserved population, and she's got cars. So that part of it, developing a business plan, looking at numbers, challenging her, challenging assumptions.
A lot.
we've had some, heated discussions, and I'm going to challenge her to make sure the road that she's going down is the right road.
Can I add one thing to that?
Yeah.
When you're launching something as amazing of a board as you have or as a social support system, which I have great family and friends.
Social support system. I love that.
Yes. I have it. I have that social equity.
That is awesome.
But even with that, launching something, day-to-day business, it can be really lonely. I mean, you're working in a silo.
Totally.
And poor Chuck, I mean, my first call in the morning is typically to Chuck, and my last caller message is to Chuck. So he's there, and he knows more than anyone what's going on with my business. And it's so valuable to have someone who knows what's going on, who the players are, what are the politics, and someone who has the experience to be able to help me navigate major decisions.
That is huge, though, because it's one thing to have, like you said, that social support. You know, you go home, you tell your mom, tell your spouse, whatever, about your day, and they start to pick up on the pieces. But one, they don't have the experience,
mm-hmm.
like Chuck, you have in this. But two, it's that social piece, that family piece, but you need that coach. You need that mentor that is vital in growing a company and expanding. Yes. And, you know, you have that extra knowledge.
He's my navigator.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And someone to tell you no, you know?
Oh, you need that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll do that.
Does that.
He'll do that. He'll do that.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a coach. There's no question. My coach is 92.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we meet every month, and he tells me no and tells me what to do and what not to do. So yeah, it's important. I've been fortunate. I've had coaching my whole life.
Mm-hmm. How did you find this particular coach? How did he land?
We actually met. We were co-mentors at SCORE. And when SCORE changed their methodology to doing teams, and he was assigned to be my co-coach. And we became, you know, instant friends. And like, then we'd start to go out for lunch, and it morphed into him coaching me up as I was making.
Does he play golf?
He doesn't play golf. He's 92. We just want him to.
I played with a 92-year-old. Why are you discriminating?
He swims.
Why are you discriminating?
He swims. So, okay. But.
My aunt's 99 and she golfs.
That's what I'm saying.
It sort of morphed into this coaching relationship.
Does he drive around himself?
Say again?
Does he drive around himself? Sorry, very important question.
Yeah.
He does.
Wow.
Well, yeah, like Mr. Magoo.
Well, he probably needs a driverless car.
He's like Mr. Magoo.
They're coming.
No,
Chuck will be the one to coach those companies.
I got a ride today. It was weird. I wanted to tell you guys that it's like you buy a car now, and if you trust it, you can. It's driverless. If you trust it, it's a little freaky, but it's a Acura.
And that's how you got here, you said?
Yeah, my friend, I said, can I get a ride? And he said, yeah. And he said, which these features you got on your car? And he goes, oh, I can, it just drives itself. And I go, what are you talking about? And he just took his hands off the wheel, and I was in shock. Yeah, it's cars now.
Yeah.
They're driverless.
It's insane.
It's just you have to trust it because it's a little psychologically weird.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, put your hand on the steering wheel.
Well, especially with everybody nowadays.
I had to get here for this important interview.
Especially with, you know, don't talk on the cell phone, hands on the wheel. And now it's like, no, you can.
No worries. Talk on the cell phone, read.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of deep. So, and funny that you said 92 and 99. I literally said, this is what people over 90 need to get as a driverless car.
Yeah.
It solves it.
I love that. 92,
so that was a non sequitur. So anyway, Chucky Chuck, I have a question for you. So when I met this man through Playworks, this was probably about 5-6 years ago, you had this vision. I remember us talking. There was the, you know, you wanted to expand, but you had this bigger vision of the impact that you wanted to make in the lives of kids. Do you remember what that was? You remember what you told me? Are you getting old?
His eyes are big.
I'm going to let you tell me. I probably do. I say a lot of things.
Yeah, but this was like really real because it got me involved that he's solutions based. And why that's important is in nonprofits, even for profit, because I'm in a world of for profit with a nonprofit heart.
Mm-hmm.
We do things because there's one element, it's the right thing to do. And that's always a good thing to do. But the most important thing is we have to solve a problem.
Mm.
Right. At the end of the day, that's why I was asking those questions, because that solved a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But Chuck was solutions based. And I love that because at the end, a problem is going to be solved. And in this case, Playworks is going to be bullying and it's eradicated. I saw it happen in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's the part where I came with Chuck, because I'd rather be with those kind of people. I mean, I love feeding people at the soup kitchen, right? But that doesn't solve their problem, mm-hmm. right? Because they can get food. Actually, in America, you can actually get food. And no one's died by being hungry a few days. Mm-hmm. I mentor homeless kids. And you said there's a reality about that. Mm-hmm. Can't save the world. But I work with Chuck, and we're going to be doing some other projects together. So that's why.
Well, you know, now that's triggering in my mm-hmm. mind. So I come into the nonprofit world. I'd always been on nonprofit boards at the higher level, but not in the trenches operating. So here I'm operating a new nonprofit in a community that has hundreds of really good nonprofits, and I'm looking to get funds. Mm-hmm. So I'm treating it like a business, and data is going to be my driver.
That's right.
And data is what's going to drive my fundraising. And so ask questions. What are your issues at school? So number one issue is absenteeism. Why are kids missing school? Mm-hmm. They're bullied. Mm-hmm. They don't feel safe. Those are your number one and two reasons. And then you look at teacher turnover, which was as high as 50% at the Title I schools that we were serving. Jeez. And why was that? Lack of student engagement, disruption, chaos. Where's that all coming from? The recess yard. So we taught soft skills, social emotional learning, conflict resolution at the recess yard, which then created an inclusive environment. So the data ended up reducing absenteeism from 50% to, or from like double digits to like less than 5%, and teacher turnover from 50% to like 10%. And so when you start telling funders that, you quickly become top on their list. So,
quickly.
Yeah. So data is, you know, with Vivi, we've talked data, and her no-show rate is, you know, it's unbelievable. When she presents that to the insurance companies, they want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Chuck's great line, data, not drama.
Yeah.
I love that. But it's true, because that's what's going to push it.
You totally. Like that, Portland.
I like
you can't
it.
Argue with data. I haven't heard
that. You can use that. Data, not drama.
Can I use that?
Data, yeah. Not drama.
I don't want to be a drama queen. I want to be a data queen.
Right?
TM.
Yeah, yeah.
Portland, I want to go back to one of the things that you mentioned about having the purpose. What is the purpose? What are you doing with your company? And behind you guys, you'll see the step and repeat backdrop has Max6 logo for where we are in Tempe, Phoenix Business Radio X. But the other logo on there is Conscious Capitalism. And it's a big thing that fuels this studio. And it's interesting that you said that, because that is one of the very first things when you're talking about doing a business that will come up in conversation is, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What on that global impact level, what are you doing? So with that, Portland, what are you doing? Tell us about how that connects with you.
You know, it was interesting. I have an international company. I didn't talk about that. I've had that almost 10 years, and formed it with a phenomenal business partner, Colleen Slinkard. And we were doing all this international work and helping other countries, and it was great and all. And then probably about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, we decided to become a benefit corporation, a B Corp certified company, which is essentially saying, I want to use my business as a force for good. Mm-hmm. We were already doing it in our character. We decided to just put a stamp on it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that I believe that you can't make money at any cost. And that's what the world we've been living in, right? Mm-hmm. So you create a product, but you don't care about the chemicals you dump in the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Or you hire people and you work them to death and not, you know, consider their families and maybe giving them health care. It's just all the decisions that you make, I believe, needs to be through a prism of what's the impact that it has on the society. Mm-hmm. And so instead of it being a single bottom line of profits, because I am a for-profit. I love nonprofits. We're a for-profit with a nonprofit heart. Mm-hmm. There's two other factors you should consider in all your decisions, and it's people and the planet. So it's a triple bottom line, people plus profit plus planet. Mm-hmm. And now every single decision I make, hiring, buying, selling, choosing vendors, mm-hmm. is through this lens of what is the impact is that decision, that financial decision, going to have on society? Mm-hmm. And typically that question is, what's it going to have on my bottom line?
Yeah.
And so I just said, if I ever got an opportunity to take that model and do something for America, I'd be all over it, because we were having great success around the world. And now I'm in a position now, working with Chucky Chuck over here, to do something for the country where there's an opportunity now where there's more and more people that have turned their companies into benefit corporations, converted, and we think like that more. Thanks to you millennials. Gotta love millennials and Gen Z, right? But it's this generation who right now, mm-hmm. for the first time in history, they are not putting up with business at any cost anymore. Mm-hmm. Transparency, accountability.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's the largest wealth transfer in history is happening right now since the baby boomers started retiring in 2012. And those monies are going to a different type of consumer and a different type of philanthropist. So we are positioned and getting positioned for that type of consumer, and it's working.
Mm-hmm. So how does that look with working with Chuck with your company right now?
Well, we have come up with a way to build the country through Workforce Development Academy, and not in a typical way of just training people for jobs. We need to train people for life. Mm-hmm. And one of my frustrations in the nonprofit world, which I know you're solving it, Vivi, is that you need to build a sustainable nonprofit so that the people who came to the nonprofit because they wanted to save the world, and you end up raising money and doing administration. It's crazy. It's the weirdest thing ever. Mm-hmm. How about you get to go change the world, but we create a model that's sustainable so that we can help the people, and the people helping the people are still engaged, mm-hmm. and still pumped and still passionate. So he's a master at it. When I was with him at Playworks and I watched it happen and we raised money, I brought people to him that I couldn't get them to give money to anybody else. And we sit in a boardroom with Chuck and they're just like, how much? What's going on? And I went, and it's because it's the way that he has built the model and incorporated business infrastructure and a methodology in a nonprofit model.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's that simple. Well, it's not that simple, but that's why.
So many nonprofits look at donors as donors,
mm-hmm.
but they're not. They're investors.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so we Absolutely. Never call them donors.
That's right.
And they're making an investment. And anyone that invests money is looking for a return.
That's right. Yeah.
So we showed great return on their investment. I wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Yeah. It's the data.
Yeah.
So it's so cool to see now in this 21st century world of doing good has moved from, you know, tree hugging and, you know, we are the world. I mean, you know, that's a little soft to me, but it's moved from that to actions, like yeah. what you're creating. I love your story, Kyle, that, I mean, how cool is it that you parlayed your business and how you thought about it and moved it to a social digital platform to grow, right? That innovation is very necessary now,
mm-hmm.
because it's all about small donor donations now, getting the word out. So we are poised to be really successful with Chucky Chuck on our side.
Portland, I have a question for you.
For sure.
When you're talking about a B Corp and you're looking at who your partners are, your vendors, what you buy, how you sell, how committed are you to that? So if you have a vendor A and B and vendor B is not as aware of the impact they're making versus vendor A, but they have a better service or product, how do you make that decision?
That's such a good question. You know, we're going to work together, Vivi. Just so y'all know, Chuck hooked us up today. We're going to be working together. And you know what? Kyle's going to be blasting us on social media. Holla. So I'll give you a real life example.
Please.
There was a distillery. They were in London and they were in Nairobi. They, you know, beer, wines, really good company. And they was doing a really cool thing with the waste, how they were doing this bottled water. It was like, ooh, we really like that, right? So we go take a values assessment to make sure that, you know, they're not like, you know, killing babies in the jungle somewhere to get the product, right? But we really care about that. Well, I was like, we're ready to have them as a client. And then we asked them this question. Do you pay your field workers a livable wage? Because these are the people picking the berries. Mm-hmm. And they said, we're not going to give you that information. And we said, then you're not going to be our client. And that was a big client, 500 employees, multi-continents. That would have just, especially at the time, you know, we needed the money. But that is how serious we take it. There's certain factors. And livable wage, I would say, is number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just not going to hire people that are not paying people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's huge. And it's you sticking to not only the people, profit, planet, but you're sticking to your personal values for that company.
Without question.
Skylar, I'm sure you see with marketing and getting that out, you have to show the values of the company mm-hmm. on the outside, but they have to live those values. Mm-hmm. If they're not living those values...
Yeah, and I think it's a really big thing now because, like, authenticity has become mm-hmm. a buzzword where companies are trying to be authentic, but it's, like, a false authenticity.
Yep.
Or companies that found themselves on, for every product we sell, we will then donate a product to someone else. You're putting the onus on the customer to do the donating for you. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it under the auspice of... we are giving back. It's like, no, you're not. Your customers are because they're the ones that are kind of doing it. So when you build a brand around that, I think we have more and more people who are growing up in a world where you can kind of see through some of that. And it's getting harder and harder to do. And because everything is recorded and filmed and published, and it's hard to kind of stay false authentic for too long. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of companies are starting to realize that. And it affects everything as far as like finding new employees that want to work for a company where maybe you pay lower salaries, but they've seen you month after month going down and donating their time for a good cause. Mm-hmm. And people that want to get behind a movement like that are more likely to be attracted to those types of companies. And whether or not it's selfish for a company to think that maybe we can do more if we promote this stuff, but if it leads to more good getting done, then maybe it's a good thing overall.
Do you have any good examples or bad examples? If it's a bad example, you don't have to say the company's name, but do you have a good or a bad example of how you've seen that in action with... that, you know, that word authenticity that we use and we throw around, but a company that is either showing their true side, their true values, and that you're able to work with them well to actually market that?
Yeah, and this is a really good question because, like, take it for, like, the individual or the small business owner, the entrepreneur who wants to start doing more content. They've built a business for themselves, and the anxiety is, if I do something wrong, I'll lose all the business that I've built. Mm. So it's really kind of creating that first... piece of content or the first chunk of content of a position of, I don't want to lose what I've built, so I'm scared, I'm defensive, mm-hmm. so this has to be perfect. So it's not about always being like untruthful, but it's more about I've got to put my best foot forward and show my best self. Mm-hmm. And with video, it's 10x'd. And I mean, you watch people come in and do a podcast, I'm sure. I mean, it was in some of the notes is... be like, we might take photos, just so you know. So don't expect it to be radio only mm-hmm. because sometimes people show up in their pajamas and they're like, I didn't know you were going to take a photo. And they're so they don't want a photograph of them looking the way they've looked. But it's like, you just walked out into the world looking like this. What is it about a camera that changes all that? And mm-hmm. it's the idea of on camera, I've got to be a different authentic than I am in front of you right now wearing my pajamas or whatever it happens to be. So it's really, I don't think it's always evil. It's more of like, you imagine like the kid who's graduating eighth grade, going into high school, and all summer he's talking about, all right, I'm going to reinvent myself at this new school. I'm going to be a better version of myself. I'm going to wear cool clothes and be into cool music. And then 2 weeks later, they are who they are. Mm-hmm. And they go back to whatever level that they are supposed to be because you can't really fake authenticity. It just becomes work and it's hard to stay committed to that. And I think that being open and honest about everything as a business and a small business, and talking a little bit about how the world's getting smaller with more access, more channels. It isn't just three channels on television anymore where there's only three companies that can dominate everything. Mm-hmm. It's hundreds of channels, now thousands and millions of channels. So you might not have the opportunity to have a billion fans, but if you're in a small market, you can have a very easy, good following and really make a difference unlike anyone's ever been able to make before. And what I love about social media specifically, and take it for whatever you want, it is a tool. You can use it for evil. You can use it for good. If you're putting out content regularly, talking about the things you care about, you're passionate about, and you love, all you're doing is sending out a beacon that attracts other people that are similar to that. Mm-hmm. And some people use it for evil, but the people that are doing it for good used to just sit alone in your room and not have anyone to talk to about these things that you really cared about. Now there's a community. Now you can become a thought leader. Now you can start a movement. And I think that stuff's really powerful and special.
Yeah. Mm. Everything is so accessible now. And you have, you know, like Portland, you're saying you asked that question to that company and they didn't want to give you the answer. Okay, done. We're moving on.
Done.
You know,
we're moving on.
If you really wanted to in the end, you could have found that information because everything is so accessible. You could track it down.
But it's a matter. There.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a matter that you...
Do you guys remember that article that came on a couple months ago from Business Insiders? Are you familiar with Business Insider? Mm-hmm. And it's a meeting happens every year with the top multinationals in the world. And I've worked with the multinational corporations. And so they made this declarative statement, the biggest. I won't call their names out because they're big. They'll come and get me. But you can go Google it.
We'll lock the door.
But yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna anyway, pull it up right now.
They can. You call them up right now. They're coming. And they made this declaration that we're going to do good and we're going to change the way you're talking billion-dollar companies, right? Had their faces, the CEOs, the names, right? Well, the group I'm with, the B Corp movement, mm-hmm. the founders of B Lab, which has created this social good triple bottom line, they called them out the next day. So this is on the national news waves hit. So it just hit. I even put it on my, you can go to my LinkedIn if you want to find it. So I was like, oh, the unthinkable happened is that these big companies said, hey, we need to have a social good. The next day, my peeps went, oh, really? Once you come and become B Corp certified, put your money where your mouth is, right? Because yeah. they're big enough. They're the CEOs. They could convert their companies. They could certify as a B Corp. Guess what happened after that? Crickets. So that's what you're talking about. Because it's more cool, because of social media, mm-hmm. to say, hey, we're doing this good thing. It's very different than to do that good thing and to mission lock.
Yep.
Because that's what it's about.
Did they ever say anything?
No, it's funny. I was trying to find like follow-up article like, hey, we're going to do something or whatever. It was like shrunk.
Ooh, and it's right. amazing how the companies who actually do things, you never see anything about it on
never.
Social media.
Never. Isn't that interesting?
But those yeah. are the ones that you need to, that are actually saying and doing what they...
Well, let me tell you what's difficult about that, because I'm one of those companies. You know, I was raised to be on the DL. Mm-hmm. I have a vibrant personality, as you guys see, right? But I really operate from a place of your left hand not knowing what your right hand does. Mm-hmm. And because I believe that... You know, I think influence is more powerful than title. Yeah. But the reason why is because if you are saying, okay, I'm doing good and this is the way, to me, you kind of like what Kyle's saying, I think I'm nervous. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm nervous that if you just make one misstep, I'm managing a misstep, right? Because when you say, I'm here for a social good, and then maybe I missed something and they are, you know, hiring kids in Bangladesh. And I didn't know that they was tied to, you know, this company because the media is real intense and they can find out. So there's this fear because now you're overly analyzing me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's where building your brand is everything
I
now.
Think so.
And
yeah.
it's really like you build your brand on your passion and showing you care and mm-hmm. people will forgive mistakes.
I agree with you there.
What do you do when you make the mistake or why did that mistake happen? But like, was it from a position of caring? Because like, you really can't fake that, especially long-term.
I agree. So I just got to get over my, because I think it is, we do need to say that this is the right way to be. We mm-hmm. really do. And Absolutely. Those voices are growing. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And with the two of you, how did you guys start to work or connect? Chuck, how did you decide to bring Skylar into this conversation today.
You know, it's interesting. As I was thinking about how I wanted to build Coach Chuck, was it going to be organically, word of mouth? I mean, this was early on. I thought I should meet with Skylar and maybe become a customer. So we talked about it. And I wasn't ready to commit because I wasn't sure if I needed to promote because I was getting a fair amount of word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And then Skylar reached out to me and said, well, let me flip this around. Maybe you can help me.
I'll take over the story because you might not be as forthright as I would, but we've known each other through the Scottsdale 2030 organization and him with Playworks involvement, and that's how I originally got connected with him, and I've just been aware with him. What's that?
How did I not meet you before today?
I don't know. I'm everywhere.
But now you've met, and that's what matters.
Yeah. That is what matters.
We make amazing things happen.
Look at this
missed
connector here. It's okay, Portland. We're here now.
So Chuck and I met, and he came and gave me a little rundown of what he was thinking about doing. And it was kind of very early on in the beginnings of it all. And I think it wasn't long after, I mean, a couple weeks maybe, but I had all of my employees quit one day. And it was one of those things where that's an embarrassing thing to say. And it's one of those things where it was like a wake-up call thinking, okay, what did I do wrong? What led it to here?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of just kind of like deep, like figuring everything out. And mm-hmm. I knew it was a toxic environment that I was trying to overcome by, I mean, I think I kind of like overcared a little bit where I got to the point where I was being walked over or walked on for a long time. And I knew it wasn't long-term solutions, but like what all happens in one day, it's just kind of like, okay, what brought me here?
Yeah.
So I reached out to Chuck and I was like, let's get coffee. I just need help. Like I reached out to the people that I knew that had been doing good things for a really long time and said, I'm just in a position where like, this is a big pivot point for me. Mm-hmm. And all he did was say, what is it you want to do? And I was like, I just want to help businesses build their brand because that's what my strength is. He's like, well, why don't you do that? And it's just like, I've been building this company for 3 or 4 years. No one's ever asked me that. It's constantly trying to please all these other people. And what's been so unique about it is like we got into a space that not a lot of people were doing. So we were first to podcasts. We were first to creating video content for businesses at scale. So instead of spending like $5,000 on one video, it was spend $1,500 and get 5 videos and do these fast turnarounds because this is what I wanted as a business owner. So we had a lot of employees, we had a lot of production. It was just, we were doing a ton of stuff, but with not a lot of direction because there was a lot of people to please. So the second it was just an opportunity to say, well, what is it you want to be doing? Most of that is saying no to good opportunities so you can say yes to the great ones.
Yes.
And it was just clear. And it was like, well, I knew I had to replace a lot of these people, not because they were bad people. It's just they weren't the right people for what we needed to do. And because of that, we're all working in different directions for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And when we got very busy, it was just like, okay, like this is a turning point. And everyone kind of makes decisions that are best for them at the time. And I'm very aware of that. But having Chuck as a sounding board and just someone who's kind of been there, like that's what that connection was. Is just, you mentioned earlier, just like the social support or how lonely and stuff it is. And my wife is a business owner, but we have very different businesses. So you can talk, but you don't have anyone that just kind of asks very simple questions and says, well, why aren't you doing that? And then you come up with reasons that you know aren't real. And it's just like, thanks for just asking that question. It's valuable.
Totally.
So Sky, that's a great story.
So how
it's
has
not that
looked?
Great of a story.
No, it is a great story.
I'm working hard to make it turn into a great story. So
No, it's a great story.
Thank you.
Everyone that's successful has that story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and has a bad one.
Well,
but really, it's a good one.
It's an embarrassing thing to happen. And I'm pretty public in the fact that like all my content is out there. So it's not like I can hide and say something like this never happened. And it's an embarrassing thing, but it's really not. And when you talk to people that have run businesses, like I was afraid to reach out to all the clients. And I just called everyone one-on-one, told them exactly what had happened. 90% of them were just like wanting to go to battle for me. It was incredible. It was just I can't believe that would happen. Like, how dare they? Like, what do you need from me? And I was like, you're my client. Like, that's insane. And 10%, like, I can't get on the phone. And it's just, okay, like, you do what you can and work with it. But that's the type of thing that I can't lie and say it didn't happen. Like, it's mm-hmm. part of the story, good and bad. And, like, one of the things that Chuck does really well, but he talked about his story as Chuck 1.0, Chuck 2.0, yeah, Chuck 3.0.
I like that.
And that was just, oh, Rensselaer 2.0. This is what I want it to be. And nothing is in the way at this point. And, like, I mean, we're already having the best quarter we've ever had as a company. We're just at max capacity and can't seem to keep up. And it's just... it's not an overnight thing. I mean, it was mm-hmm. 4 years of getting here with a lot of mistakes, but it's interesting to see how, I don't know, once you do have that clarity and it happens to everyone at every stage that, oh yeah.
I mean, I experienced it this year, so that's why I'm saying it's a very real dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I had to look at everything myself, my company, and then you have to be transparent.
Yeah.
And it feels like a failure.
Oh, totally.
But it's actually like it was iron sharpening iron about yourself mm-hmm. and getting totally. Focused. It's just unfortunate when it impacts other people. That's what's hard.
If it was easy, everyone would be doing it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And most of it's just like everyone asks, like, so what did you do the next day? And I was like, I got up early and went to work.
Yeah.
Like,
you were the only employee left?
Yeah, I called up. I had a part-time person that I was like, hey, I need you to go full-time. She's like, yes. And I called all the clients and said, I'm going to be taking over all of these personally. And found, I mean, you it's not like, yeah, it's messy, but it's like, all right, you know what the steps are. Just mm-hmm. do the first one and then the next one. But it's like that showing up to work that is the hard part for a lot of people. And all of you, I mean, you guys are doing incredible things. Like what you're going through, I couldn't even imagine. It sounds like so much bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah.
That it gives me anxiety just hearing the story.
Me too.
And I get like, self-driving cars, hopefully they can help give you more drivers for a lane. And
okay. Right.
How can this work? But yeah.
Isn't it amazing when you start something, how I think everyone has that moment of, it crumbles,
and like, crashes.
Oh my God, what am I going to do next?
Well, what's crazy, like, a lot of people don't realize that you go into business to do something you're so passionate about, and that's about 10% of what you get to do.
Totally.
And 90% is all the business stuff that you're not strong at, or you don't know the right person to call, or you don't even know what to do. And every single person, once you start a business, is trying to get something out of you or sell you something. And
agendas, yeah.
You have to love what you're doing so much to put up with all the other stuff. And
yeah,
sounds like you do.
10% is generous.
I was, yeah.
Yeah. Chuck will help you with the other 95%.
Did you say 10% is generous?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
5%?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, seriously.
You essentially have to love what you are doing to not do it, really.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, that's not totally what you're doing majority of the time. You're doing all of these other
things. And did it make you think for a moment if this was the thing you were supposed to do? Did it make you pause? Because that's a good pause. But where you really,
I mean, I don't know how much time we had, but like I went through the year prior, I went through a lot of scary, unexpected health issues and ended up in the ICU for freak like issues.
Wow.
And had to take a significant amount of time away from work. And I looked at a life where I'd built two successful companies. My wife does really well. We're in a great position. And it's like, do I even need to be doing this? Like, why am I doing this?
Wow.
And when it was all said and done, it was like, I'm doing this because I really love building companies.
Wow.
I always have.
Yeah.
And I don't need to be pushing myself as hard now that I have three kids and want to spend more time with them. I can create a lifestyle that produces both. But when it comes down to it, I really want to help businesses who deserve growth. I want to help them grow.
That's awesome.
And there's a lot of them out there.
That's awesome. And you know that's to your core. Mm-hmm. Like you too, Vivi, you just know that this is what you're destined to do.
You know what? At one point, if you're starting it, if you really are starting it from ground up, you are the CEO, you're the CFO, you're the plumber, you're everything.
Garbage man.
Yeah. Garbage man.
The admin. Oh, the admin's the toughest.
HR, playing the HR
you're the
role.
HR.
That's the toughest.
And I tell you something, I love your transparency. That's what I love about the generation, that the transparency is amazing. And that connects people to you. Like, if I was, you know, in your industry and I heard this, I would want to come work for you, hands down, right? Because I know you'll be honest with me, right? And I'm telling you, it's tough. I had to look at myself because it was easy to say. So I had a mutiny. So your employees quit. A mutiny is different.
It was,
right?
They were going to take after the fact. There was a planned exit.
There was a mutiny
and a go after certain
and a coup. Yeah. So it was both, right? But, and I'm upset and I'm not condoning what they did. But I had to look at myself and say, what environment did I create that people, nice people, I'm sure your boys were not, that's what I'm saying. These are not evil people. These are wonderful people, actually, or they wouldn't have been here to begin with. What environment did I create that is the actions that they took? And it was what you said. I'm doing things that are not my strength. Mm-hmm. And that's never good if you don't recognize that in your weakness, you are exacerbating people.
I always take, like, anything goes wrong, it was my fault somehow. Like, you can get a car accident, even if it's not your fault, maybe you could have done something and avoid whatever happened to be. And I was a lot of that analyzing, like, what did I do that led to this?
And I love it how you said that, how you looked at the decisions you were making.
But what you said was a really good description of it is just, it was the environment that I was responsible for that led to this. Mm-hmm. And I knew it. I just thought that I could, like, will it better.
Totally. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, here was my solution. If I could get an operations director, that's what's going to solve it. Mm-hmm. So it's this false thing, this notion. And it was like, no, I needed to solve me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think they were the right people. Like, how are you?
Oh, yeah. Sure. A lot of people in the wrong spots.
I'm with you there.
A lot of time together.
But it's painful because it has impact.
Yeah.
It does.
You know, you talk about my generation. So I'm going to turn 24 in January.
Wow.
Yes!
I don't think in my generation anymore. That is young.
Love it.
But I've been able, just by listening to podcasts, listening to the radio, we hear people like you talk about their story so transparently, where my number one, like my top priority with my company is our culture, where our people love showing up every day. It's too easy for us sometimes to sit at the conference table and just talk for an hour. And it's like, okay, we have to go back to work. So it's really by sharing your stories and being so transparent where I'm not going in with a false, like, not a false, but skewed priorities. Mm-hmm. It's first you, your people. What are you doing to create that work environment? What are the priorities on a whole grand level?
On a whole grand level.
Yeah.
24 years old, you got that down. Boom.
Oof. Nice job.
Almost 24. January.
You're not even 24. Oh my gosh, she aged me in like 3 seconds.
She's such a
like,
baby.
I just feel like Tales of the Crypt now.
But not even 24 and doing such phenomenal stuff. And that you have an amazing coach and mentor that's supporting you in that growth so that at a young age, you're learning and you're doing more than people our ages, right? You're so young, but you have the knowledge to say, I can't do this on my own. I need a coach. I need a mentor. I need somebody else to help guide this process and grow this company the way I want to. Absolutely.
Totally.
So I have to point out to you guys, because in the beginning you went, oh, an hour is so long. It's been an hour. You guys, we flew through. I didn't even say anything the last 15 minutes, I don't think, which is what I love. If I can just sit back and watch a conversation unfold and become fluid and amazing. The four of you are absolutely phenomenal and doing amazing things with the companies that you're working for and that you're building. And I love, Chuck, thank you for bringing these three to the table today, because I love the connections that they have with you and not only the support that you've given them, but like Skylar and Chuck, you guys were saying in the beginning, you were deciding, okay, do I need Skylar's help with the marketing? And then you said, no, I need your help first. Mm-hmm. But now it's probably turned, right? You're probably starting to help him at some point. So that relationship will go so back and
you.
Forth.
He gets you indebted to him for life and then whatever you want.
But at least Skylar calls me Chuck. I got a Chucky Chuck.
I'm Chucky
and,
Chuck.
And she calls me Wendy Rhodes from Axe Capital.
Totally. Oh, my gosh.
So my priority is going to be with Skylar now going forward.
I love that.
Sky.
Coach Chuck.
I love that. Well, before we wrap up, I want to give each one of you the opportunity to kind of give any last minute, what's your last minute thought from today? Maybe if it's an ask for the community, what is something that you're looking for in support of your company? And then also how folks can reach you. So I'll go around the table. I'll start with you, Vin.
Sure. So last thought of the day, too. One, you can't do it alone. You really can't do it alone. So thankful for Chuck and the connections he's brought, where I feel so supported. And two, to my mission here, homeless. If you see a homeless individual on the side of the road, you don't have to give money. You don't have to give anything.
That's right.
But at least give a wave, give eye contact.
Oh my gosh, yes.
These individuals are not just light poles. These are human beings.
Yes.
And just a look and a nod can mean something, acknowledging their presence.
Cool.
So that's my takeaway. My contact info is V as in Vivian, Gellert, G-E-L-L-E-R-T, at elaineaz.org.
Awesome. I'm going to bounce over here first and go to Portland. I'm going to go to you next. I got to keep you on your toes.
You do. And I love it that you do that because I kind of get lulled in because I love these guys and all of a sudden, bam! I would say the transparency, you know, what Kai, I keep calling you Kai, is Sky.
But Kyle.
If you're authentic, then you will create the kind of culture mm-hmm. people want to work with you, and then they'll allow you to be human. Like, you have to build trust enough to make a mistake. I think that's a cool takeaway from today for me. So if you're a company that is interested in branding yourself as a company that wants to be here for a social good, you contact us and we'll convert you to a benefit corporation, which is just changing your articles, just making a statement, if you will. Mm-hmm. And you can contact me on LinkedIn, Portland A. Reed.
Awesome. Skylar, we're going to go to you, a.k.a. Kyle, a.k.a. Sky.
A.k.a. Kyle. The other white guy.
Yeah, I'll take it over Wendy Rhodes, I guess.
Color,
I don't know,
gender.
This was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. It's always one of the takeaways I'll say is I will tell people who reach out to me and say, how do you find a mentor? How do you do a lot of these things? How do I learn? I don't get an opportunity. And everyone knows that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And in reality, you said it, you knocked it out of the park. It's you're in the car, you're doing things like you've got podcasts, you've got audiobooks, you can spend a lot of time with some really smart people who have dedicated their entire lives into one book that will teach you more than what most college courses would teach you. And on the flip side is if you don't go out of your way and try to spend time with the right people, you'll spend a lot of time with the people that just kind of like default to you. And sometimes they can, if like you're in a toxic culture, like it kind of starts to spread and makes everyone feel a little bit toxic. And that was one of my takeaways, was as sad and upset as I was when it all happened, that one day that I did go back to work, I was a little bit happier. There's a lot of the mess was gone, even though it was going to be a lot of work. It was just realizing that no matter where you are and at what aspect of your life, that if you're not actively like seeking out a coach or seeking out a mentor, or seeking out just the good people in your life who are also busy, that if one of you doesn't set that dinner appointment, you just will go a whole year without seeing each other. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really good time, end of the year, to kind of reach out to those people and try to start making that happen on a regular basis. And good things come from that. And I think we all get very busy and ignore that. And that's something that I've been learning a lot through the last few months is actively seeking out the good people in my life and knowing that if I don't, you just find reasons not to, or you get a little bit too busy, it doesn't happen. So that's my takeaway.
I love that. And if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
I'm very easy to find. SkylarIrvine.com or Google Skylar Irvine or wherever you are on social media, I might be there as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here. I know that you have your own podcast, so it's nice for you to be on this one today.
It's awesome to be on the other side of it. I just sit back and listen. I probably talk the least amount on this. It's just fun to kind of listen to a conversation.
It's fun, though.
Thanks, Kyle.
Absolutely.
All right, and then we're gonna wrap up with Coach Chuck, Chucky Chuck,
Wendy Rhodes.
I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. Everyone needs a coach, no matter who you are. I mean, Bill Gates is famous for saying that, and he's done pretty well. And if you have the ability to coach, and you're not, or mentor, you should. I think it's a right that we should be helping and paying it forward. And if you're looking for a coach, to Skylar's point, find someone who's going to be there to support you and buoy you and be objective.
I tell you now.
Yeah. So that's my parting shot, and I believe it.
You're a great coach, Chuck.
I appreciate
that. You really are.
Yes, he is.
Thank you. So how do you reach me? I'm Chuck at CoachChuck.solutions, or I am on LinkedIn. Chuck Warshaver. So look forward to hearing
you. You're going to need to spell that, Chuck.
How do I spell Warshaver?
No, you have to spell that. People are going to go Warshaver and it's going to be
W-A-R, Shaver. My wife says like the shaver.
Like the shaver.
Right, Warshaver.
You guys are awesome. I love this. Well, thank you again to the four of you for being here. This was
thank you, Kendra.
Fantastic. Yeah. I love when thank I can.
You. No, that was really
welcome.
Cool.
I love when I can sit back and kind of let you guys take the lead, and then I don't have to look at any questions or prompts or anything. You guys just kind of go with it and roll with it, and that makes my job much easier and enjoyable.
Shout out to Karen. Much love.
Yes, yep. We love her. So thank you guys for being here. To everyone else, you've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from within the Mac 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Business Radio X studio. Some media leans left, some leans right. We lean business. Until next time, this is Kinder Maples. Thank you for listening.